Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambereau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hello!
Hi!
Hi, Christina. Welcome to Homeopathy World Community. And we're talking about pet health with our co-host, Christina Chambereau, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. Today is January 6, 2012. And we have had quite a number of shows in our series. You will be able to look at those on the Homeopathy World Community website, where there is a special section with a listing of each and every one of the shows with some notes that you can take a look at. You can even tweet this and share this information with friends on Twitter, on Facebook. You can embed the radio shows onto your website or your blog. So let's get the word out that homeopathy heals and it helps your pets. In addition, today we're going to be talking about hospice care for your pets, and Christina's going to guide us through that. We want to let you know that Christina is a doctor of veterinary medicine. Are you an adjunct faculty on the Maryland Veterinary Technician Program?
Yes,
And you lecture widely across the country. You do telephone consultations, so if anybody needs some special care, you can go ahead and give her a call.
To my website and read about my practice is a good way to start, actually.
That's great.
And my website is myhealthyanimals.com.
Myhealthyanimals.com. Okay. So you're going to get us started today learning about taking care of your pet through a difficult situation when you're looking at hospice care.
Well, it's interesting. Winter is a time when it seems that a lot of people and a lot of animals die. So winter is a good time to have this talk. And I think in a way it's a good thing to talk about in the beginning of the new year, because this is 2012. And we may need to be hospicing the old energies of the world as we midwife the 2012 predicted good things that are going to begin to happen. So hospice, I think, is a really good thing to think about as we're moving into a whole new possibility for the universe and for our world.
You're thinking of it in terms of a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said something to the effect 2012 is going to be a good year. I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Well, transitions to me and change to me are good. And if we declare that the things that are happening are good, then they are.
Mm-hmm.
If we assert that they're bad, then they are. And the truth is, they neither are good nor bad. And that's really, for me, I've come to a point in my life, which relates to hospice and transitions, I've really come to a point in my life personally where I believe that the world is full of energy. The universe is energy, quantum fields. And we're all interconnected, other planets, other stars, other beings, that we're all interconnected. We're all energy beings, and some of the energy beings choose to take on a physical form here on this planet called Earth for a very short time. So our animals choose to take on lives that are shorter than ours, our dogs and cats particularly. Our macaws may take on a life that's longer than ours, or our parrots. But our dogs and cats, when we choose to love dogs and cats, we know for sure that they're going to be leaving us, usually before we do. Not 100%, and so everybody should have a plan for their animals written down, no matter what your age is. But in general, you could expect to have to say goodbye to your animals at some point. So for me, change is all part of this energy flow, going into the physical, going back into the energy. So whatever happens in 2012 is just part of that.
It's an interesting way, a perspective, really, on having pets, knowing that when you first get your pet, that their lifespan is going to be typically shorter than yours. So, I mean, when you have a child, and many people think of their pets as their children, when you have a child, you always think that your children are going to be there to take care of you when you're elderly. But in the case of pets, you're the caretaker for their entire life.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's a totally different kind of relationship, I guess.
Well, it's similar to people who have children who have major physical and emotional and mental challenges. So parents of a severely autistic child know from the outset that they're likely to have to take care of this child for the rest of their lives and for the rest of the child's life.
And to make plans.
And to make plans for when they're not there. Absolutely. It's really, in homeopathy, comparing animals to children or animals to people with problems that have them leave them more in the childlike state is very accurate, because when we take a case in homeopathy of an animal, we can't ask the animal, does it feel better? Does your ear itch more, or does your ear itch less if there's a hot compress or a cold compress? Which one helps the most? You can sometimes test that and see if you get a response. And the same thing's true with an infant. You can't ask the infant, but you can experiment by putting a cold compress or a hot compress on the inflamed ear and see which one maybe you can get a guess. So taking the case and treating and evaluating the response of infants and dogs and cats and other animals is very similar. So the same thing is true for just the knowledge here that it's going to be for a shorter period of time and we are responsible. And so hospice care actually begins when animals are born, when you first get an animal. That's the time to think about the end of life.
When you, thinking
when
about
when you first get the animal, because, and the reason I say that is the healthier and more holistically treated your animal is, the more you've let them experience the symptoms they need to experience, the more you've worked on the energetic level to do healing as opposed to stopping the symptoms quickly, regardless of what treatments you're using. Homeopathy can suppress just like drugs can. But as long as you've been carefully paying attention to cure, palliation, and suppression and have been doing your best to get to moving towards a cure, even if you're not cured, but moving towards a cure, then you are more likely to have an animal who's able to die on their own and to die easily. The healthier an animal or a person is, the easier it is for them to transition out of this life.
I'm just trying to understand what you just said. To die on their own, meaning without assisted
care. Right, without being euthanized.
Without being euthanized, to make that transition in a healthy fashion.
Exactly, a gentle, easy fashion.
Okay.
Even if they may have to, they may look like shit. They may really look horrible at the end.
Yeah.
But they have a life force that's still there. An example is the cat who I dedicated the Healthy Animals Journal to. So one of the cats that I've had over the years was named Beasley, and I adopted him from a veterinary technician in the clinic I was at when he was about 6 or 7, and he had been a rescue kitty who had lost one of his eyes at a young age. And so he was a one-eyed cat, and where he was fighting with the older cat, and so they needed to get rid of him. So, and at that point, he was living sort of in a backyard, and he would hunt worms. He would proudly bring his worms home. But mm-hmm. the other cat would catch the birds and the chipmunks, but he would only catch worms. And then, so I adopted him, and he became a really good chipmunk killer. I would, anytime I saw a chipmunk on my land, I'd say, you need to leave this land or you might get killed, because he graduated from worms to chipmunks, and he was so proud of himself.
Uh-huh.
So I treated him holistically. He was early on in my career, so he was fed PetGuard canned food with some raw food. As he got older, I probably was doing more and more raw food. And I learned a lot from him. If I boarded him at the vet clinic, even though I knew they weren't feeding dry food because I worked there and they wouldn't do that if I told them not to, he would come home from the stress of being boarded in the vet clinic and drink water. Normally, he drank no water because, remember, one of the early warning signs of illness is that cats drink water when they're not healthy. A healthy mm-hmm. cat, not on dry food, will never drink water, which is the reason no cat should ever be fed dry food, even mm-hmm. on a regular basis as a treat, but certainly not as a diet. So he would come home and drink a lot. And then he mm-hmm. would drink less, even though he didn't get dry food, just the stress would do it. And over a week, he'd stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see, and as he got older, I hadn't noticed an increase in thirst, but I'd noticed this funny respiration. It just seemed like his respiration was a little, maybe when he was 15 or 16, his respiration was a little faster. And I thought, well, maybe he's got some mild kidney disease, a little bit of acidosis. But I'm not into doing blood tests. He was still hunting chipmunks, eating, you know, looked great, glossy coat, and didn't have any of the goop in the corner of the eye of his one eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I came home and he really seemed to be having trouble breathing. So I thought, okay, I'd better go find out. And when I took him in, I was still thinking kidney. Now, had I pulled out my own stethoscope to listen to my own cat's chest? No. It's funny how even practitioners forget how, you know, we become mothers or pet owners as opposed to being, or pet cherished companion guardians as opposed to being the practitioner who we are. So I got to the vet clinic and the young vet examined Beasley and he said, I don't think you need to do blood work. I think you need an x-ray. I can't hear any lung sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we took an x-ray, and his lungs were compressed into less than a quarter of an inch at the top of his thorax.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no lungs to breathe with.
What was going on that all of a sudden his lungs...
His chest was full of fluid.
Just from stress?
No. In retrospect, something was going on with him.
Okay.
That was causing fluid had been building up. But he had shown... The key piece I want you to see here is that... He had a severe physical problem, and yet he was functioning really well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know he was sick
mm-hmm.
until it finally got so bad that his lungs were, you know, just down to, he didn't have any space to breathe. And he started having trouble breathing. I'm not concerned about the cause of it. I didn't even pursue the cause.
Mm-hmm.
We tapped the chest. We sent some fluid out. And that night, which actually came back just inflammatory. But that night, that day when he came home, I figured out some remedy and gave him a homeopathic remedy. I woke up at 2 in the morning and for some reason went downstairs, which I normally wouldn't do, and he was lying at the foot of the stairs gasping for air. So mm-hmm. I got a remedy, I gave him a remedy, and we went and laid on the screened-in porch, and he was looking out the window. And as he looked out the window... the screen, and he was sitting comfortably, he was breathing comfortably, he seemed to be fine, and I sort of dozed and checked him, and just as the sun was coming up and it was getting light, so 5:36 in the morning, it was summertime, he stood up and acted like he wanted to go outside, so I opened the door for him, and he went out, and I think I went to the bathroom or something. he walked around the entire outside of the house and trotted up the two steps into the house. He walked around our open floor plan. He sort of walked around the perimeter of the inside of the house. He laid down and died.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's he had about 30 seconds of the gasping and jerking motions that animals often have when they die. So
Okay. This
is the ultimate. Maybe not the ultimate. The ultimate is to wake up and find they've just died in their sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
So this was a little, not the best, but pretty close. I mean, he lived a great life. He was 17 or 18 years old, which isn't that old, but it's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever his problem had been with this inflammatory fluid in his chest, he had it, but it didn't bother his functioning. So homeopathy and healthy treatment can produce this. Some animals mm-hmm. just genetically are that way. So some animals get vaccinated every year, fed commercial dog or cat food, cats are on dry food, and they still live to be 22 or 23
mm-hmm.
and die easily. So it's not, holistic is not a magic bullet that says if you do this, your animal's going to have a healthy life and die easily. But it's an example of how it usually can go. I would say in my 30 years of practice, fewer than 10% of my patients have had to be euthanized.
Hmm.
Now, that's as opposed to...
Yeah.
I'll just give this and then get to your question. That's as opposed to several other veterinarians who say the majority of our family, of our animals, are euthanized. Robin Downing says in 23 mm-hmm. years of practice, the number of animals who die a natural death is few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole taking the holistic and the homeopathic approach from day one or from day whenever you think about it increases the chance of a natural death and minimum suffering. Now, you had a question.
Right. I kind of wanted to refresh over what I... listening to you, what I learned, and a couple of questions. So one thing was that this cat of yours, I don't remember the
Beasley.
Name. Of,
Beasley.
Uh-huh. Was having some kind of stresses in his life, and he showed that by drinking water, which is atypical for a healthy cat, which is something that I just learned. I did not realize that. So
mm-hmm.
if your cat is not drinking, that is fine.
That's a good thing.
Oh, that's a good thing. Okay. And so when I think of somebody who needs to drink a lot or urinate a lot, I'm thinking of diabetes.
Or kidney disease or Cushing's disease or liver disease or multiple other diseases.
Okay. And then you didn't see any other types of signs that this cat
He wasn't even doing the stresses from drinking water was when he was younger and going to the vet clinic to board. So
okay.
that was only when he was young. I didn't do that once he turned 10. So he was not doing water. And every once in a while, he might go through a phase where he was drinking water. I'm not saying he never was sick. He would get a cold or a bout of diarrhea or a little GI or something, had Lyme disease at one point. So he's had a couple of things go on during his life.
Okay.
But at this point, when he was old, he wasn't drinking water.
Okay. And then, so what you were saying is you didn't see any other types of signs that would indicate something going on. You indicated the discharge in the eyes or any other problems.
That's the early warning sign list
uh-huh.
that we've talked about in one of our first talks. And look, in that, we talked about it in evaluating their health. And it's something that I recommend people do on a regular basis, which is why in the journal, on the master symptom list bookmark on the back of it, I have actually doing a physical exam and looking for these early warning signs of illness. And I recommend people do that on a regular basis.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that was the next step. And then, so you didn't see that this cat was still doing his regular
mm-hmm.
jaunting about outside and catching mm-hmm. little animals. So you thought he was in pretty good shape
mm-hmm.
until something really major happened. And then this is the interesting part. I mean, if anyone has been with their parents or a loved one when they are on that transition passing, they seem to perk up and have some quality communication with you seem to really come alive just a little bit before the end.
Right. And usually I find it to happen for about 24 hours before they die. Now, that wasn't true for Beasley, but for many animals, that's true.
Right. So that was the very fascinating part of your story, where you told he went, scouted out the outside,
yes,
went upstairs, yep, with a lot of energy, scouted out the inside, and then that was the end.
Yes.
And it was
sort of like he was saying goodbye to the house.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like he was saying goodbye to the yard, goodbye to the house,
uh-huh,
and then died.
So that is really a fascinating bit of information for people to know. And then at the end, basically you're saying, with the number of euthanasias that go on daily in the pup, mm-hmm, in the pet population in America, because our pets are either on major drugs or in a lot of pain or have very debilitating diseases, that's why they're usually being euthanized, to be put out of their misery. And
right.
You're saying they can be healthy to the
right.
end.
Right. I'm saying if we can keep the healthier we can have them be, the more likely they are to have an easy passing.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, the number of cats who come down with kidney disease, it used to be the number one illness of, you know, the number one cause of death in cats. Now, of course, cancer and other things are, because of so many vaccines. But when the dry food came on the market, kidney disease became one of the major problems. And what I discovered when I did this hospice talk at the University of Davis for the Nikki Hospice Foundation, and we have a link to that in the notes, in 2009, is in listening to these people who were really paying attention to what was happening in the conventional practices, a lot of times there were like 150 people at the conference, and a number of them were animal guardians as opposed to veterinarians or healers. And they told multiple stories of going to a veterinarian and at the initial diagnosis of renal disease being told, your cat will be in excruciating pain, your cat has kidney disease, there's nothing we can do to cure it, you need to euthanize your cat today.
Wow.
I was really shocked. That had not been my personal experience anywhere. But mm-hmm. enough people were saying it, and enough other veterinarians said they'd worked at practices where it was like that mm-hmm. It's important. So that's one of the reasons the hospice movement is in existence, is
mm-hmm.
that there's a need for people and veterinarians and animal healers in general, to be educated on the fact that there's a lot we can do, even if you've done nothing up to the end, that when a pet is in the hospice category, which means they have a disease that they're likely to die in 6 months from, that when they're in that hospice category, when you treat them with homeopathy, they may live for many more years.
Mm-hmm.
So a cat that with kidney disease, where some conventional veterinarians, hopefully not very many, are recommending euthanasia right away. Even when I was a conventional vet, I didn't do that. So that so surprises me. But it happens.
So this is happening,
obviously. But instead of that, mm-hmm. we can now offer, with mm-hmm. homeopathy and Reiki and flower essences and healing touch and Tellington touch and all of the healing modalities, we can take those animals that it looks like they're going to die in 6 months, according to conventional diagnosis. Sometimes they're turned around, so they may live for another 4, 6, 8, 10, or even 12 years. A wonderful organization called Brighthaven
mm-hmm.
was adopting old cats at age 16 or up, and giving them a home for the rest of their life. And very often, these animals would have fit in the hospice condition category, because their condition was they were very ill, and they had tumors and kidney disease and diabetes and things that normally they would have been in the hospice category of dying within 6 months. And Brighthaven actually had one cat who lived to be 34. and had multiple cats that made it from 28 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because when we treat with homeopathy, or we treat and we're successful, not just using it, but we're successful with it, then we have a chance to turn these guys around and they move out of the hospice category and end up living a much longer life. It does not always happen by any means.
So for those
for
those folks who are listening in maybe the first time to this show, we have had numerous shows where Dr. Christina Chambreau has been guiding us through many instances of learning how to use homeopathy for your pets. And that would be really good background for you to get on this kind of more hopeful way of viewing the health of your pet, to imagine that your pet would live a half of your life. If you live to 70, hopefully will live longer than 70, but for your cat to live 30 years to 30 or 35 mm-hmm. years is a long time for a cat.
That's right. It really is.
Okay, so did we want to say what Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, says? The highest ideal of cure is the rapid, gentle, and permanent restoration of health. That is the lifting and annihilation of disease in its entire extent in its shorter, most reliable, and least advantageous way, according to clearly reliable principles. This is aphorism number 2 from the Organon of Medicine.
Which I highly recommend everybody read.
Yes. And
I like the Wynda Brewster O'Reilly edition. It's the easiest to read of a challenging book to read. Now I have another quote that follows on with that.
Okay.
George Bothokas, who is a leading Greek homeopath, claims that every person has the right to die with the minimum possible suffering and the maximum state of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about my story of Beasley, he really was able to die in
mm-hmm.
a state of awareness. He was very conscious of it. And when I spoke with animal communicators afterwards, they said that once I had figured out his diagnosis, he said, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to die because I don't want to futz around with a lot of treatment.
Oh, was that it?
So he was very aware that this was it. He didn't feel he could turn it around, and he didn't want to futz around with it for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do sometimes need to do euthanasia, but if you do euthanasia to an animal who's in good shape and who is in that state of awareness, they usually transition much more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have people that are saying our goal is to cure at that deep level so that by the time we reach the end, we can die without a lot of suffering, and that's because we don't have a lot of illness there. Imagine, I think one way to think about this is every time you get ill, your vital force develops like a mat in its hair, like a cat or a dog that gets mats in their hair. So every time you get ill, you get another mat in your vital force. If you treat it holistically, the
mm-hmm.
mat unravels, and you don't get that symptom anymore, and so your hair coat is nice and smooth. But if instead you do the wrong homeopathy, or you do conventional drugs, or you do something that didn't fix that mat in the energy field, you've got a mat. Then you get another illness, another mat, another illness, another mat. So imagine at the end of your life, your hair coat, you have either a smooth, silky hair coat or you have a hair coat full of mats.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's going to be the most comfortable?
Right.
To
you
have at death.
Something smooth. Well, look, we have about 10 people in the live chat today.
Okay.
And,
somehow I couldn't get into that. So any questions from
Yes,
them?
We do. We have someone.
Okay. Ask away.
Ginster Bean says she has a story here. She has an 11-year-old yellow lab named Casey, who has neurological myopathy. And she has trouble getting up and drags her back right foot when she walks. About 3 months ago, she switched her, and she also has a boxer puppy, to part raw, part no-grain kibble diet, and they're doing well on this. However, Casey, who is the old 11-year-old yellow lab, developed fecal incontinence a year ago, which she says the family has gotten used to since her condition can cause this. But almost overnight, she's developed bladder incontinence as well. And so the question she has, is this common, or is this a sign that she may have a bladder infection or kidney stones?
It's more likely to be a result of the neurological problem that's progressing. It's moving up the spinal cord. So the nerves that activate the rectum are closer to the tail. Mm-hmm. And so they get, so first you get the paralysis in the legs, then you get the rectum not working right, and the bladder is farther up forward. So then you have the bladder not working right. Now, homeopathy, good homeopathy and or acupuncture can often keep these dogs going very well and keep it from progressing like that for many years.
Because we have remedies that deal with the nervous system?
Well, we have remedies that it's really important to realize that there is not a remedy for the nervous system. Mm-hmm. Every single remedy deals with the nervous system. But okay. There are remedies that would match the picture of different animals that have degenerative myelopathy. It's mm-hmm. not easy to treat. It's not one that, and certainly all when you're this far down the line, it's going to be much more difficult to treat. Mm-hmm. And these are animals, I must say, that degenerative myelopathy and paralysis in the rear mm-hmm. Is one of the sad times where we often, even in quite healthy animals, have to euthanize them because mm-hmm. they appear to be great. They're eating, they're drinking, they're happy, they're talking to you, and they need to be on a cart. They need to be carried. They need to be lifted. And sometimes I'll have a 90-year-old, 60-pound woman who has a 100-pound German Shepherd. And she mm-hmm. can't take care of it. And so we have to euthanize the dog.
I see.
Sometimes this is one of the exceptions to, you know, being able to let them go on their own when you have this mm-hmm. kind of rear paralysis. However, at this point, the family is coping wonderfully. I super applaud you on that. And mm-hmm. I would look immediately, for acupuncture or homeopathy. There are many homeopathic remedies. Mm-hmm. There are many rubrics in the repertory that point to these paralysis.
And you also highly recommend Reiki. That's one of the things that you've always said in every
yep.
show.
I recommend every person who has an animal learn how to do Reiki because that will help and try different Reiki practitioners. But I've seen real miracles happen with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with homeopathy, of course, one of the rubrics, you'd need to look for what makes this dog with degenerative myelopathy different than other dogs with degenerative myelopathy. But one of the rubrics, for instance, that you'd use is urination, involuntary, and there should be one for paralysis. Here's one
right.
in old people.
Okay.
And then,
Okay, so two rubrics that she can look up into the repertory or get herself to a consultation.
I would actually say, unless you're a very well-trained homeopath, I would not take on a case of degenerative myelopathy. It's very difficult to treat.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not even, I'm mentioning rubrics, but mm-hmm. I would not at all suggest trying
personally trying
that unless you're a very experienced homeopath. I have trouble treating them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have rectum involuntary stool rectum involuntary stool from paralysis.
Okay.
And then
and you're looking in the repertory right now?
Looking in the repertory. And then you do extremities, paralysis, lower limbs.
Okay.
would be another one. And again, these rubrics on their own aren't going to do it. You have to be looking for the things, the smaller rubrics within those. But it's a guideline of where to go look first.
Okay, and one other question that she has, and this deals mm-hmm. totally with hospice care, with end of life, mm-hmm. Concern about the pain that the animal is going through. And she says that she was told that the condition of her pet is not painful.
Correct. Degenerative myelopathy is not painful. But it's okay. a very good point. I want to make this point as strongly as I can. In the last 10 years, the veterinary medical field has become obsessed with thinking that animals are in pain. And they are giving very strong, very debilitating, very dangerous pain drugs all the time, on a regular basis, after a spay, after a neuter. They're giving these pain drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Pain drugs are not needed. Animals usually bounce back wonderfully. And if animals are in pain, homeopathy is wonderful
mm-hmm.
for treating pain. So even a novice can try different remedies when you have acute pains, because if it doesn't go away quickly, it's the wrong remedy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the good ones, if you have an animal that's really crying out in pain,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what the cause is, you can go to Mind Shrieking with the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some remedies there that can be tried. And
mm-hmm.
then there's in every section of the body, there's pain rubrics. But that's one good one to try. There's
mm-hmm.
another one in generalities about being sensitive to pain. And then again, and you know, you then have to take the next step of narrowing down to choose between the remedies. But our animal books talk about pain. So good question.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless whether it's hospice or not hospice, we really want to use alternative methods for pain. Reiki is excellent
mm-hmm.
to relieve pain. Rescue Remedy and other flower essences are excellent to relieve pain. So when you leave your veterinary clinic office, do not pay for the painkiller. Seek alternative pain care.
Okay, so
are there any other questions?
In the chat, we've got a great team of people listening in today. Ginger's Bean says that she agrees. Casey almost died on cephalexin.
That's an antibiotic.
And she decided not to give it anymore, and now she's on all natural supplements. So we have a testimonial that it's better to get them off of the drugs if they're not necessary. Also, I want to let you know we have about 5 minutes left to the show,
right.
And whether you wanted to do a follow-up show on
definitely.
Hospice.
Yep. I think next week needs to be a second one on hospice.
Okay, good.
People seem to be interested in it. We've got more people than we often have.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask people if you want to vote yay, pop a little note there in the chat room and say yes.
Okay,
yes, more hospice.
I'm going to ask people to see to chime in
yeah.
if they're listening. Maybe they're asleep. I don't know. Sometimes you turn on a show and you just let it run in the background. But
that's true. Although it's hard to let me run in the background.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see if they chime in and let us know if they want part two. We have Dr. Bob says this was the best show yet. And continue with this subject. So we have
great.
One positive vote for talking about hospice and end of life, transitioning, going into the new year, wherever
yes.
we're going to go.
And
okay.
remember, everybody who's listening and those of you who download the MP3 files and listen later, you can send your questions ahead of time. And
okay.
they may not be covered on the show that's coming up, but whatever your questions are, you know, they will be covered on different shows, and we'll always respond and say, you know, we're not going to cover it this week, but 2 weeks from now we'll be covering that.
Right. And you know what you can do if you're listening today or listening to this archive? You just go to the Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community website, and click to get reminders. And so you will be notified when there's upcoming shows. And we have a good number of shows throughout the week. On Monday, Grant Bentley is going to be talking again about facial analysis and his trip to Liga in India. and his visit to the hospitals there. And
be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big show, and that's at 8 p.m. Monday night on Eastern Time USA, for those who are international listeners. We've got our Wednesday show with Dr. Otto, Jim Palawala, on cardiology, heart health, and last show he talked about diabetes. So that was an excellent show. We really had a good time on Thursday. And then you're normally on Thursday right after Vaccinations and Your Rights, which is at 12 noon with Alan Phillips, talking about exemptions, waivers, and also freedom and making healthy choices, which you also already completed a show on Vaccinations and Your Pets.
Yep, so, and we'll do more vaccinations later, but next week, and you need to change that on World Blog Radio, next week we'll be doing more hospice.
Okay, so next week more hospice. And we've also had, I don't know whether you knew about it, Dr. Pawan has been doing intensive work on HIV/AIDS and complications to this disease in pediatrics, and he's taken a number of years of many, many cases where he's seen great results. So he just finished a show on that, and I think he's going to be on again. I think it's next Wednesday right after Dr. Otto at 1 p.m. My timing is, we've got so many shows going on. It's 11 o'clock. Dr. Otto is 11 o'clock because of the time differential for daylight savings, and we will have Dr. Pawan on again. Just check the schedule.
And the other thing is, if you go to Homeopathy World Community website,
yes,
homeopathyworldcommunity.org, to get to the list of my ones, you just go over to the picture of me wearing a great hat. I love wearing hats. And just double-click on the hat, and on the picture, and that'll get you to my list, right?
That's right. It will get you to a full page of you, and then if you click there, you're going to get all the information and all the downloads and all the information from all of your shows, because I try to keep those up to date. We also have somebody right here. Let's see how much time we have. A couple of minutes here. We've got Marilyn. It says she needs advice about a dog, but can use it for another show. Okay, so Marilyn, would you please send it to us? And we will discuss that problem on an upcoming show. So I think we're ready to say goodbye. Happy New Year. Yeah, it's been a fabulous, fabulous show. I appreciate taking this special day with me. And we will see you next Thursday rather, at 1 p.m.
Right, absolutely. Okay. Looking forward. Thank you all for being on the show today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brook and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time.